Good morning to all and welcome to our guest who joined us here today for the offering of this Sunday Mass here at the Madeleine. A little bit of an update on a couple of items. First, Bob Smith, if you were here at the Mass, this Mass last Sunday, Bob passed out and was taken out and was then taken to St. John's Hospital. He's been hospitalized there. He did not have a heart attack or a stroke, it seemed, but not quite sure what it initially had caused his episode. But my thanks for those who attended to his need. And also, he was awake and alert when he was taken from here and when I saw him later in the emergency room. Also, our search committee is continuing to the work of finding a new music director. We have some different applicants, and we want to begin to look through their applications and invite them in for interviews and such. My thanks to those who have been substituting, leading the choir, and also playing the organ and the piano for our Sunday liturgies. Please know that the children's choir will rehearse 2 Sundays from today at the regular time at 6:45 in the evening. So we have some members of our choir that are going to direct that in the interim. I'll be visiting our students that our parishioners who are students at Lanier School, Tulsa Public School, up the street. I'll be doing that on Tuesday. And please know that on Tuesday evening we have the wake service for Monica Coleman, and her funeral mass will be here on Wednesday morning at 10. And in case you're wondering, the answer is yes, we are going to have the parish picnic. The forecast is for it. I know you're looking out the window, gray skies, drizzle, and all that. The forecast is it will be 72 degrees and partly sunny this afternoon. There might be thunderstorms later tonight, but we're going to get the picnic in that space in between. So please come out 1 o'clock today. We have tickets on sale to have an idea how much food to bring, and also tickets on sale for the fall festival later this month. So again, things are happening on Harvard, and we're all invited to be part of it. We also, you'll see in the parish bulletin information, a brief information about something we're going to call WeShare. It's a way in which you can financially support the parish through online giving, through donations. We're not doing away with the envelopes. If you want to continue to use that, we're just giving people another option in order to support the parish. We'll have more information about that in the coming weeks. Allow me to offer my condolences to single women everywhere. See, last month, two of the world's most eligible bachelors married their fiancés. One of them was some guy by the name of George Clooney. I understand he's in the movies. He works out in Hollywood. I also understand there's a couple of people who have remarked that he looks like me. Which is how I prefer to think of it, if you're going to think on that he looks like me, not that I look like him. And which, you know, if you take away the fact that he's taller than I am, that he's on the cover of magazines and has a lot more money, and before he married was dating supermodels in my life as a parish priest, we're almost interchangeable. Other than that, so. But it's kind of a thing, but I'm sorry, ladies, you know, he's now married, happily married, and so we're pray for Mr. and Mrs. Clooney. The other eligible bachelor that was, that married his fiancée last month was my oldest nephew, Ryan. My late brother Mark's oldest son. And so we're very happy for Mr. and Mrs. Brooks. We welcome Sheraton into our family. This is the last weekend in September. Weddings should be, hopefully, always our joyful occasions. Not just the wedding ceremony itself, but what follows, that reception or dinner, or sometimes a full-blown banquet. It's a time of joyful celebration for the bride, the groom, the families, all the circle of friends to come together and be united as one in this bride and groom now join as husband and wife and be one in Christ. Now, I have to admit, sometimes as the eating and drinking goes on at the party or the banquet, some of the wedding guests can at times get, how should we say, over-enthusiastic in their joyfulness. That almost always happens after I have left the party. To let you know, I always hear about it. You know, it may take a day or two, but it usually begins along the lines of, oh, Father. After you left, things got very interesting. So, now imagine being at a wedding banquet and being pulled aside by the father of the groom and being told that you need to leave. And there are two very large, stout groomsmen ready to escort you to the door and throw you outside. And the reason that you're being thrown out is not because you become overly enthusiastic, not because you're dancing on tables or becoming an embarrassment, but because you are not dressed appropriately. Think of the shame and the embarrassment that you would experience. That's what's happening in this parable that we hear from Matthew's gospel at this Mass today. And it's one of the more interesting, perhaps difficult parables of Jesus for us to wrap our hearts and minds around, because no one seems to act in a way that appears to be reasonable or that makes sense, particularly if we literally read the parable, a literal reading of it, because it has to do with describing the kingdom of heaven. First, there are the people who are on the original guest list. Imagine that you receive an invitation to the wedding of the child of your employer, or someone that's socially well-connected, or somebody that would be a really good idea for whatever reason for you to show up and to dress appropriately and to bring a nice gift, perhaps the child of your best friend. You're going to say yes to that invitation, most likely. And imagine that the wedding banquet is going to take place at the most exclusive of venues, clubs or restaurants. For us in Tulsa, maybe think of it at Southern Hills or at the Summit Club downtown. And by the way, I get to see the inside of the Summit Club maybe on average once a decade, if I'm lucky. And at that banquet, on the menu, is the best of foods and the most choicest of wines. You're going to make a good effort to be there. But imagine instead that your response is different. The first response is out of indifference. To say, well, I'd like to come, but I'm too busy. I'm too distracted. I had too much going on. And then maybe another reply gets more serious, that of violence. Literally kill the messengers with the invitations. None of us is going to do that. And if people are going to do that, it begs the question, how do these people get on the guest list in the first place? Of course, none of us is going to react in this manner. So often the best way to read a parable, particularly this one, is not literally, but to see it, to read it as a story. A story with unexpected and over-the-top actions that are meant to get our attention, to emphasize a point. And it's important to remember not only because the actions of the guests, but also that of the king, who answers violence with violence. He's not turning the other cheek towards that original guest list. So he invites a second group, only to have one thrown out, it seems, by the fashion police. And if we read the parable literally, then the king comes across as, at best, an unpredictable, petty, and violent tyrant. So who cares what's on the menu? Who cares how exclusive the venue is with such a volatile host? And if this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, well, you can keep it. How best then to understand this parable? For certainly if we see this image of the wedding banquet reflected in what we hear today from the prophet Isaiah, that image of the all nations being drawn to God, an image of peace, of fulfillment, forgiveness, and reconciliation expressed by that feast of the richest of foods and the choicest of wines. That's also that image that is reflected in how we understand our relationship with Christ and us as the church. The banquet is the feast in heaven, with Christ as the groom and we, the church, as the bride. It's also reflecting the image of the Mass itself. For the best of food and the best of drink is the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. This is the wedding banquet taking place here and now. And the invitation to that banquet is God's grace poured out on all. Not just the ones that we think are deserving, but to the good and the bad alike. There's no one at the door going into the banquet, checking to see if your name is on the guest list. That invitation is made to the words and actions of prophets and apostles, disciples, and of holy men and women of every age, every language, of every nation, of every race. It's made through the sacraments, through the scriptures, the acts of charity, mercy, and forgiveness. Because the invitation is made by Jesus himself in his cross and his resurrection, inviting us to the banquet. For God, who is love, makes that invitation to us and does so out of love. And what is the response? More often than not, it's indifference. Too busy, too distracted, too much going on to reply, to take our place at the table. Or it's that of a rejection. I'm too sinful. I'm too unlovable. I'm beyond redemption because of my past sins. That indifference to grace, that rejection to grace, neither is a good look and neither is an appropriate reply. Of course, there's also that other rejection, that of outright violence. You know, in our list of canonized saints, there's more than a few martyrs, even to this very day. Martyrs either out of hatred for the faith or out of the hatred of the virtues that our faith calls us to live. Martyrs in Nigeria, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, India, Pakistan. Martyrs in Central and South America out of people living out the virtues of their faith in Christ. And there is the man who shows up without the wedding garment. It's not a fashion faux pas. It's not because he's wearing white after Labor Day or he's wearing plaid with polka dots or something silly like that. Rather, think of the wedding garment as Christ. In baptism, we put on Christ. We become a new creation. That's what that white garment that we give to the child or to the adult is. That's a symbol of that. And there's a prayer at the baptism at the person that's given that white garment as a sign of becoming a new creation, that you have put on Christ, that sign of that dignity of being born again through water and the Holy Spirit. And there is that challenge, that prayer, to bring that dignity unstained to the banquet of the kingdom of heaven. And the man has not been living out those promises, has not been living out that new life in Christ, has not been transformed to that image of Christ. And so instead he presumes way too much and is cast out. For many are called, but few are chosen. As we gather at this altar for the offering of this Mass, may we know the depth of the Lord's love for us, that there is a place for us at the banquet, for us to accept by transforming our lives into that of Christ, and to rejoice that the Lord has saved us.